Welcome, everybody, to Big Ten Daily on the Gruley Truth Sports Network. I'm your host, Mike Goodpaster. Today, we're going to preview tonight's games between the Wisconsin Badgers and the Indiana Hoosiers and the Penn State and Nittany Lions against the Iowa Hawkeyes. We'll also look at a little coaching news. We'll look at maybe, you know, there's some rumors, Jay Wright at Ohio State, possibly. We'll look at who could possibly be the Ohio State's next head coach, who should be the head coach. We're also going to look at the Indiana Hoosiers, Mike Woodson, what should be done there. A lot of opinions. The hot seat is starting to get a little bit hotter for Coach Woodson at Indiana. So we're going to look at all of that today. And before we do that, I want to remind you, if you're watching on YouTube, go in the link in the description down below to click on BetMGM, which is our top sports book for betting tonight's games in any sports. BetMGM is our top rated sports book. All right, guys, let's start off with tonight. The Indiana Hoosiers will battle the Wisconsin Badgers in a game that's a rematch of a game that was a 91-79 Wisconsin win. In the preseason, this matchup looked to have a lot of serious intrigue. Indiana and Wisconsin, I think Wisconsin was picked fifth by the Big Ten writers preseason poll or the Big Ten preseason poll. Indiana was picked sixth. Now, the Badgers have held up their end, but they've taken a little bit of a hit on NCAA seedings. This is a team that 3-4 weeks ago looked like possibly a number two seed. Right now, they're falling at about 4 or 5 on most people's seed lines, and they've got to stack some victories together here so that line doesn't fall farther. I think they're safely in the tournament. If you look at the non-conference schedule, you know, they played Arizona, they beat Marquette. The non-conference schedule was very tough. And then we look at Indiana. Indiana's 14-13. They could fall to 500 with a loss tonight. They are 4.5-point home underdogs. And Indiana has not even been saved by Assembly Hall as late. They're 1-4 straight up at home since starting the conference season 3-0. They've got 4 straight non-covers. All suggest that all hope is lost at Indiana. But Wisconsin, like I said, they're a lock for a big dance. They need this win. But they're definitely not a lock for this win. The point spread at 4.5 seems way too big to me. To me, this should probably be 2.5 to 3 points. And if you don't know a lot about gambling, there is a big difference between a 2.5 and a 3-point spread and a 4.5-point spread. The first meeting between these two teams, Indiana did not have Khalil Ware. I don't know that it mattered immensely, even though he is a great player, because IU actually shot the ball well in that game. Both teams scored at will. Now, when you look at Wisconsin, they have a methodical motion offense filled with flex cuts, back cuts, away screens, down screens. They can slice and dice the Hoosier defense however they want, and they did in that first meeting. In the first meeting, Wisconsin averaged 1.4 points per minute per possession. And when you look at IU's struggles defensively in conference play, I mean, the Indiana Hoosiers have players that look utterly unaware of things that are going on around them and things that are about to happen to them. Now, Wisconsin does have two big men that aren't bad. You've got Stephen Crowell, you've got Tyler Wall, and they are both efficiency mavens down on the block. Their passing ability makes them even more difficult, and it's going to make it even harder on Indiana to defend a three-pointer here. My best bet in this game, the over-under is 142.5. The best bet here is to go with the over. I don't see a world where Wisconsin doesn't hit 80, and I don't see a world where Indiana doesn't hit mid-60s to low 70s. Now, Indiana, the team offense was good against Wisconsin, but overall, they're awesome inside. They're in the top 89 percentile in points per possession via post-ups, but they score almost no points from the outside. Guard play has been an issue the entire season. Wisconsin has one of the best post-up defenses in the country, but Renew still managed 28 points and shot 11 from 19 inside the arc against the Badgers the first time around. So if I'm looking to bet this game, Wisconsin hasn't proven it can do anything on the road so far this season, but it's very hard to back Indiana right now. The Hoosiers have appeared lifeless as of late and have gotten down big in each of their last 6 contests. If they do that here, the game's over. Wisconsin's too good offensively for Indiana to cause enough turnovers, to cause enough issues to get back in this game. You've also got the Indiana crowd, which if things go bad early, will jump on this team all over the place. They will boo the crap out of them. And Hoosier fans, a lot of them are looking to move on from Mike Woodson, which we'll discuss here in a minute. But I think in this matchup, I think Wisconsin wins the game. If I'm going to bet the point spread, I'm going to take Indiana to 4.5 points. I think this ends up something like 80-77, 80-78 Wisconsin. But with that being said, if I'm going to bet the point spread here, I'm going to bet, no doubt, I'm going to bet the over-under is my big thing. If I'm betting the point spread, I'm going to take Indiana, but I'm not confident about it. I'm very confident about covering the 142.5 on the over. So I would suggest you bet the over in that game all day long. And another, a prop bet that I really like is right now you could get, basically you could get Ware or you could get Renew with an over-under points of 14.5. I think there's a decent chance both of them hit that. But I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say my top play tonight is take Khalil Ware over 14.5 points. And I think we'll be in pretty good shape. So go Ware over 14.5. The best bet in this game, though, is to bet the over. That is what I would really hit here is the over on the Indiana-Wisconsin game. That brings us to another game tonight, extremely interesting, Penn State at Iowa. Iowa, when I woke up this morning, was favored by 7 points. Or 7.5 points. But as you see, we got to change that line because that line right now is showing Iowa favored by 9 points. Let's get the adjustment there. And the thing about this Iowa team is Fran McCaffrey has actually done a great job. Farmer Fran gets on my damn nerves. He doesn't coach defense to save his life, but offensively, this team's very good. They played Illinois very tough. And they came off a road win at Michigan State last week. So this is a dangerous team that's playing well. My issue here is the point spread of 9 points. Penn State, ever since getting rid of Clary, has played much better. Ace Baldwin dominated the game at the point, especially when the big men for Indiana got in foul trouble this past weekend when Penn State blew out Indiana. So this is a game where I think there's no doubt the way both teams are playing, I think Iowa wins this game. Now, Penn State beat the Hawkeyes by 10 at home earlier this month. Penn State took advantage of Iowa's poor perimeter defense. The Hawkeyes were also careless with the basketball. They turned it over 18 times. Now, I don't think they're going to turn the ball over 18 times at home. I expect that number to be more in the 10 to 12 range. I think that the Lions will keep this margin of defeat to 7 or fewer points. That's why when this point spread set at 7.5, I was not really comfortable betting it either way. At 9 points, I think Penn State's got enough offense and Iowa has not enough defense where Penn State's going to score enough points. And this is a battle between two high-tempo teams. I think the Nittany Lions are well-equipped to keep pace with this. I think Iowa will win this game. But when I look at it overall, I'm going to take the 9 points in the Penn State-Nittany Lions in that one. Let's go to Ohio State. Ohio State's won 2 of their last 3 games, all right? And we saw some interesting rumors come up about Jay Wright possibly having interest in the Ohio State job. Now, Jay Wright, who retired a few years ago, won a couple national championships in Villanova, has said that he does not have interest in the Ohio State job. We also know that can change by money that's offered. Or just maybe he's just playing games right now with Ohio State trying to get more money. But as he said, Jay Wright said, Ohio State has an outstanding athletic department, great tradition, and fertile recruiting ground. It would be a great job, but I am definitely done coaching. Now, I believe Jay Wright. So the other numbers or other names you hear for this job are Sean Miller, Dusty May, Lamont Paris, South Carolina, and Mick Krogan at UCLA. I have issues with most of these. Actually, I think Lamont Paris may be the best guy for this job out of those four. The reason I say that is this. Mick Cronin at UCLA, I saw him at the University of Cincinnati, like 25 minutes from my house. Mick Cronin recruits well, but he is a highly defensive coach. The offense, most years he's coached, has not been great. I don't think Mick Cronin is a great game manager. When he's got to coach the game in the game, I think he recruits well. I think teams play defense. That could, you know, compute in the Big Ten. But to me, I mean, he's a defensive guy. His offense is never that great. I don't know why you would want him. You've got Sean Miller at Xavier, a lot of red flags with anybody in the Miller family. But Sean Miller's a really good basketball coach. He's at Xavier right now, and they're struggling. They're only a .500 team. Now, they lost almost everybody last year, but I still expected a little bit more from this team. And I don't know that Sean Miller, I mean, he was better when he was one of the, when not everybody was paying players. Let's put it that way. So Sean Miller is a dude that I would stay away from. Dusty May at Florida Atlantic's always the big name. We're going to talk about Mike Woodson in Indiana here in a little bit. And Dusty May is always brought up because he went to IU. But Dusty May, let's face it, at Florida Atlantic, they just got beat out by South Florida for their conference championship. This is a Florida Atlantic team that returned to everybody this year. They're no longer in the top 25. And outside of last year, what else do we have to go on with Dusty May? Now, I don't think it's necessarily a bad hiring for any team. I think the guy's a solid basketball coach. But the resume is basically last year. All right? We didn't see anybody running to get, you know, Coach Hodges at Indiana State in 1979 when he went undefeated and won the national championship. And there was no more years after that, So I said after that twice. That's kind of messed up, isn't it? But we can't all be great pontificators like Dan Dockage. So I don't think there's any chance of getting Jay Wright. I really like Lamont Paris. He's done a great job of turning South Carolina around. But how about this also? There's a lot to be said for an interim coach that comes in, wins 2 out of 3 games, and in those wins, beats Purdue at home, and then goes on the road and gets another huge victory. I mean, there's a lot to be said for that. And I don't know why people don't pay attention to this. We saw in other sports, the Raiders a couple of years ago, I think 2021, they made the playoffs with an interim coach that came in and won them like their last 7 games. They got rid of him because they wanted the big, pretty, big name Josh McDaniels. That didn't work out right. They fire McDaniels. They get Antonio Pierce this year, who does the same thing, kind of saves the season at the end. This time they decided to go with that guy. So I think Ohio State needs to look at the interim assistant coach a little bit more for this job than what people are really mentioning, because he's pulled off 2 significant victories at Michigan State and beating Purdue at home. Neither one of those are easy wins. Now, we got to see how he finishes the rest of the season, but the way this team has responded to him, they've played with a lot more energy, a lot more intensity. That's what you're looking for if you're Ohio State, I would assume. So why not consider him? Now we go to the harder question. What should Indiana do about Mike Woodson? If you've watched these shows before, or you've watched our Indiana Basketball Weekly show about Mike Woodson, or when we talk about Mike Woodson, you all know I don't think he's really the greatest coach in the world. I will tell you this, though. Honestly, I think you have to give him another year, and not just because of the buyout. If you're an Indiana fan, I know half of you are screaming and half of you are clapping. For the guys that are screaming, just hear me out. Right now, you've got a head coach who's, what, 66 years old. He's not going to be here forever. But you also are coming off firing Archie Miller after 3 or 4 years. You fired Tom Crean before that, a couple years after a Sweet 16. I've got no issue with firing Tom Crean. I don't think he was a great coach. I think he did a decent job. But there was a lot of things Indiana fans don't remember that support Tom Crean, like 2013 or 14, when you had all kind of player issues with players getting drunk, players getting arrested. A lot of bad things happened there, all right? Before that, you had Kelvin Sampson. Kind of obvious why they let him go. Impermissible phone calls don't sound that bad, but it totally destroyed the program. Mike Davis was a dude who you had to stay with him or you'd have lost your entire team there. When you look at Coach Woodson has recruited bigs very well, all right? Khalil Ware has done a great job this year. He's improved a lot. Malik Renew has improved from last year. McKenzie Mbako was just named a Big Ten Freshman of the Year, or Freshman of the Week again for the second time this season. It's not the recruiting that's been the issue, or at least not the talent that was recruited. The thing that has been an issue is the lack of casting a wide enough net, especially at the guard position. You cannot trust a Xavier Johnson, who has had issues in the past and has had mainly, and this is why I say issues, it's not just the off-court stuff. It's just the fact that he has had injury issues. So it's not real surprising that he's going to miss some games. And I know you had Ja'Kai Newton, who's going to be here next year also. That's a shooter. He's a big-time shooter. He was hurt. They thought they were going to have him this year, and then right before the season, they find out you're probably not going to have him this year. They left an open scholarship. So let's face this. Mike Woodson has screwed the pooch big time. But Everybody does. You look at Hubert Davis down in North Carolina. Last year, they were an NIT team that refused to go to the NIT. Hopefully, Indiana will refuse to go to the NCAA. But what I'm saying is this. I don't think Mike Woodson is a tremendous coach. I don't think he is the right fit for Indiana. But I also think it's not the right fit to fire the coach every 3 or 4 years. Because if I'm a coach at a different program right now, and I'm a big-name coach or a smaller-name coach, whatever it is, if I'm Dusty May, and not saying I think Dusty May is a great fit, because I don't necessarily think it is. But if I'm Dusty May and I'm looking at this, they fired Archie Miller after, what, 3-4 years. They're going to fire Mike Woodson. If they fire him after this year, that's after 3 years. You just fired Mike Woodson, who's an Indiana basketball legend. So if you're Dusty May, do you really want to come here? Because you got to figure, I got to get this done in 2 or 3 years. And what if my best player gets hurt one of those years and we can't get through it? And I'll tell you, the Mike Woodson press conferences are a joke. I mean, he says he takes responsibility. But if you're going to take responsibility, do something different. Anything. Try anything. Just something different. Stop being an asshole in the post-game press conferences. Make people like you. Don't look like a 66-year-old man that basically came here for a retirement plan, which is what it looks like right now. I think he needs to change some assistant coaches. And I think this, the administration needs to step in and tell him that. Things have to change. If I'm paying you $4.2 million a year, I know you're the coach of the team, and I know you control all of that. But right now, you got to go get some guards that can shoot the ball. All right? We need a point guard who can get it done. We need assistant coaches that can coach people to shoot. I mean, there are coaches like that out there. And I know I heard Todd Leary on his show complain that he offered to come help. I mean, Todd Leary, it's not your place. Mike Woodson should already have a guy that could coach the guards and to shoot the ball. I mean, that's it. If there were shooters. The other thing is this. Liam McNeely is coming in here. Liam McNeely is a big-time player. If he's as good as people think he are, you're only going to have him for a year. But the thing about that year is, if you've got him and you keep Renew and Mbako, this team is built to win the Big Ten next year. You know, it was just announced Zach Edey is not going to pick up that extra year of eligibility. All right, Terrence Shannon, probably not going to be back at Illinois. This is open to win if you're the Indiana Hoosiers right now. The problem is, if you change coaches right now, even if you get a better coach, you may lose Liam McNeely. He may not come here. You may lose Mbako. I think Mbako stays after this year. All right, I think he's one of the few guys that I've actually seen respond a little bit to Coach Woodson. And maybe that's just because Woody sat his ass earlier in the year. All right. I know we're going to do a show tomorrow about the Indiana basketball or Indiana University administration and what it's done to hurt this basketball team. But Coach Woodson, you got to coach this team. All right. They're playing Wisconsin tonight. It's a winnable game with Wisconsin struggling. Now, if we go into this transfer portal and he doesn't get the guards and this team is 14-14 next year, hell, even if it's 17-13. Yeah, fire his ass. He's not getting it done. But by keeping him here another year, you get Liam McNeely. If you can keep most of this roster, some of these guys can leave. To me, Trey Galloway can go. Anthony Leal can go. No harm done. All right? I don't think they fit. I think if you get a couple guards and with the guys you already got up front, Trey Galloway is like your third guy off the bench anyways. I don't think he's a great player. And Anthony Leal has proven he's not a great player. Yes, he tries really hard. But I'm sorry. That's kind of a given that you're supposed to try really hard. So I'm not really going to give credit for that, even though this Indiana team doesn't look like it's putting the effort out right now. But I'm telling you this, if Mike Woodson is gone after this year, you may lose Liam McNeely. You can't replace Liam McNeely. And let's face it, Liam McNeely is more important than who his coach is going to be, because if Liam McNeely comes in here and all of a sudden this team's in the Sweet 16 or better, Mike Woodson is 66, 67 years old. He doesn't necessarily need this crap. But if you could get a program that consistently wins 20 games with Woody for the next couple of years, and they've stuck with him, and mainly they've stuck through him through a really bad year, then you may get a dude similar to a Dusty May or whoever that may look at the Indiana job and take it more seriously now because he thinks, well, you know, they're not just going to throw me out before I ever get a chance to do anything. That's my take on this. My other take is I still stand by, I don't think Mike Woodson's a great coach, but I've seen guys who weren't great coaches go to the Final Four. I've seen guys who weren't great coaches win national championships. It happens. Jim Herrick won a national championship. He was a decent coach, good coach. That's about it. All right, you don't need Bobby Knight to win a national championship. Hell, Jim Boeheim's won one before, so you obviously don't need that. And I'm just playing around a little bit, but I do think Jim Boeheim was overrated. A guy like John Thompson was a horrible coach. He's a better coach than Patrick Ewing. But John Thompson, if you look at his time at Georgetown, they were good from about 1979-80 on, but they were only elite, really only elite, when they had Patrick Ewing. They were pretty good mid-90s with Allen Iverson, but when there was no Patrick Ewing, there was no Georgetown in the Final Four. And really, the only time Georgetown got close to the Final Four when Patrick Ewing was gone would have been 1987. They still had, I think, was it Reggie Williams, number 34, a big long dude who could shoot. But that was a team that was a very high seed. They got upset by Providence and Billy Donovan in the Elite Eight that year. So John Thompson was by no means a great basketball coach. He got Patrick Ewing. He recruited guys around him, and they kind of went with it. They didn't have any outside shooting, but there wasn't any three-point shooting at the time. So I would say if you're an Indiana fan, just relax. We got to get through this next year, and let's see where everything stands when the smoke clears. All right, guys, remember, you can follow me on Twitter, or X, at Grueling Truth, and make sure you go check out the Got Woodson Facebook page with Brian Moore. Me and Brian will be back tomorrow at noon to recap the Indiana-Wisconsin game tonight. And then on Thursday, we're going to do a show specifically about the Indiana University administration since probably the early 90s to now and the effect, negative effect, that it's had on the basketball program. All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up. I'm Mike Goodpaster. You've been watching and listening to The Grueling Truth, where the legends speak.